Welcome to episode 92 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. On this week's show, I'm in the car once again, this time making my way back from a shoot at Camberley in Surrey. Swapping the chilly great outdoors for the comfort of a warm office, this was a really nice little two-hour commission, creating a series of basic portraits for business. Now, there's quite a lot of technical detail for you to sink your teeth into this week, so I'm just going to get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 92. It's just after 2:15 in the afternoon, and I'm heading back from another shoot. This time it was in Surrey, here in the UK. A lot of you know that I am based in Hampshire, but I also go all over the country, and particularly I go through Surrey and East and West Sussex, as well as Hampshire. Now, I am planning to write an article about this particular shoot. The guys that I photographed are happy to have a very specific write-up of the shoot done to show you guys the lighting arrangement and the technical considerations. So I will be doing that. I'm just going to turn my sat-nav down a little bit. Don't really need it. So I am going to tell you, not all the specifics, but I am going to tell you a bit about this particular shoot. So it started with, way back when originally, I met a chap at a networking meeting, and we got chatting, and you know, that was that. And then a few weeks later, I get an email from this guy saying, obviously, you know, would you be able to come and do these photographs? How much would it be? And all the usual things. These were business portraits. They will be used for the usual things like LinkedIn profiles and on their website for their profile pages there, and also any sort of marketing and newsletters and all that sort of thing. It's all kind of pretty standard fare, really. So with all things said and done, the shoot was arranged for today at 11 o'clock in the morning for a number of reasons. For one thing, it meant that I didn't have to get in rush hour traffic, which is always a good thing to be able to avoid that, because it's about an hour's drive up the A3, and as I say, I'm on my way back now. But it also means that those people in their office can just, you know, get started with the day. They can sort of, you know, relax into the day a little bit, and off we go. Bear in mind also that a lot of people don't like the thought of being photographed, so it kind of, you know, gives them, depending how you look at it, either gives them a chance to kind of get ready or to worry a bit more. However, it was all okay, so I turned up at 11 o'clock, and we went through a number of setups for these shots. Now, just to give you a rundown of the kit that I used today. The first setup was using, in all cases, I used my Nikon D3. For this first shot, I was using an 80-200mm 2.8, which a lot of you know I use for headshots a lot, especially for corporate headshots. And on this occasion, we were in their offices, and there was a sort of a breakout area in the main it's a building with lots of offices in. So we used that with a very neutral white wall, which saved me having to put up any sort of a backdrop. I did take a backdrop with me, just a white sort of thing. But again, if you can use existing, sort of the existing space, then all the better. So we used that, and the first shots, just to warm up and to get into the flow, was they wanted individual headshots. So there were the little tables there, and I sat them all, and there were three of them, actually, two guys and one lady. So they all sat there, and on the table they had a MacBook, and they had a notebook and this, that and the other, what have you. Again, just props are always good, just to let people feel as though they've got something to, you know, that people don't often, it's often the way that they don't know what to do with their hands, and they just gave them something to do. It's amazing how much that will relax people. So I was there with my D3 80 to 200, and the lighting setup was, a lot of you will know in the past I've used constant lights, a constant light source, i.e. not flash, and these bounce off the ceiling. Now, they're very hot, they're very bright, they're 1,000 watts, which is great, but invariably it means that I'm shooting at high ISO. I'm shooting at something like ISO 3200 or 2000 or something like that, or far or higher. So I decided not to do that on this occasion for a number of reasons. It was quite a bright room anyway, so I took along my 500 watt Bowens flashlights, and a lot of you will know I've had these for a long time, and you know they're still working great and they're really nice. I had two of those opposite each other to, if you imagine you've got the table where the three people were sat, and as you looked at them, you've got one guy on the left, one in the middle facing the camera, and one to the right. So I had one light sort of back left, as it were, as you look at the arrangement, and one front right, out of shot, but then you've got that crossover of light. The background was just this neutral white wall, and I was shooting at, on manual, I believe it was 250th of a second at f8. So the aperture of the camera was what was dictating my working aperture was connected with the lights, and the shutter speed was controlling the ambient. So it was a nice bright room, so I had enough light falling on that backdrop to make it nice and bright. And that was it. So they were flashing lights on this occasion. And we spent, I don't know, maybe an hour on, not on that particular setup, but that was the first one. So we did about half an hour or so on that. The person that was sat in the middle, facing the camera, I just told the three of them just to talk amongst themselves. And on this occasion, most of the time, they were speaking about their Christmas works too, you know, where they're going to go at Christmas, which is nice because it meant it was very light-hearted, they were laughing, looking, you know, nice and smiley and friendly and approachable. They were there in their, because they were sort of head and, sort of, not three quarters, but sort of quarter length, so you had head and shoulders and a bit of the torso, which actually meant that the computer that was on the desk, the laptop there, was actually just showing a corner of it, which was quite nice. And yeah, we spent about half an hour, ran those shots past them, they were happy with those, and then we decided that we were going to do three quarters. So what we did, we took the table out of the way, we had those two lights again, but because they weren't bouncing off the ceiling, I had them going through two, I believe it was 1 meter softboxes. Softboxes do exactly that, they soften the light, so you don't get the harsh shadows, you don't get the harsh highlights like on people's foreheads, and it also means that I brought them forward a bit from the wall so that any shadows that did exist where the light was more direct, albeit softened, those shadows didn't show on the wall, so it was really nice. And we had three of them there, three quarter length, heads down to sort of just below, if you imagine where, if you were to let your arms hang just by your sides, just down to the point just beyond the fingertips. So we had shots like that, and we had a variety. Somewhere the gents had their jackets on, others where they were just had, instead of a jacket and a shirt, they had just their shirt there. The lady just was very smart in a dress, and it was really nice. Again, smart, professional, but approachable. These particular guys, you know, they are very friendly, and that's what you want to get across. So we spent about half an hour on doing those shots, and also we then did, with the two guys, we also did a series of headshots. Excuse me. So it was literally head and shoulders, facing the camera. You get the, with all of these, you get the whoever's posing there, get them standing slightly three quarters. If they've got a hand in their pocket, it just gives a bit more shape to the shoulders and the way the jacket or the shirts fall, which is really nice. It also means that those people, because they're not standing there like lemons, you know, not knowing how to look in front of the camera, it also means that it's a funny thing. You, at one point I said to them, okay, we do these shots without the hands in pockets or what have you, and I said, okay, let's do a few where we'll take your hands out. And just by doing that, removing the hand, people not go, it's not that they go all sort of you know, rigid and scared looking or anything like that, but it does have quite an interesting effect on how they pose and how they stand there. I had whoever was facing the camera to have the shots done one at a time. I had one of their colleagues stood just over my shoulder behind the camera having a laugh, so you get that twinkle in the eye, you get a nice smile. Some of the shots were looking away from the camera, sort of over my shoulder. Some were looking to the camera, so that was really nice. So within that first hour, we had the individual shots of everyone whilst they were sat at the table. We had the individual shot, the group shot, as it were, the three of them with the neutral background. And then we had the two guys just on their own, just the two of them, and then individual shots there. That was the first hour taken care of. So then I left my Bowen's lights just to cool down a bit. Oh, I should probably say, on this occasion, you know that I often use pocket wizards to trigger my flash guns. On this occasion, I didn't. What I did do, because the Bowens have what's known as a slave, which means that when another light goes off, they trigger, I had a Nikon SB800 on top of the camera, just pointing at the ceiling. That was set, the ratio of light going out was 1/128th. Power, so it's very weak. So actually, even if it was fired straight at the subject, really didn't register a great deal. And so that was just enough, just for the slave sensors on the two Bowens lights to pick it up, and they then triggered. I also had both of those Bowens lights with the slaves active, so that even if one of them only picked up the SB800, say the one closest to the camera, then the other one would pick up the other Bowens, if that makes sense. So that was that. That was the first hour. Then we went to their office, which was, you know, it's quite small, not at all cramped, but quite small. I'm guessing maybe probably about 20 feet by 15, maybe. I could be wrong, but it wasn't huge. Anyway, so I left the Bowens to cool down just in that first space. We went up to the next floor in the building where their office was, and we just wanted to get some shots of them at their desk. They had one main desk with three computer stations, as it were. And the first shot we did was looking across, so that you had three of them, one guy on a laptop closest to the camera, one, as it were, back left, and one back right, so it's almost a triangle. For that, there were two main considerations. One, we had the lighting, which I will explain about in a minute. The other was it directly in front of the camera position, and also directly in front of where the flashlight was going to be coming from, were one big window and one slightly narrower window. And you had the buildings outside, which were not, we didn't want those in the picture. So what we did a test shot with the blinds, like the slat blinds, which are very common in offices. Had those so they were all the way down, but mostly closed. So it's just a little gap so you could just see what was outside, just to see how that actually, the buildings outside, how they recorded. So we had a bit of ambient light there. And actually, it was decided that they didn't look brilliant, so we closed up those slats totally. So it was just the really nice, clean metal shutters of these blinds. So the lighting on this occasion, I should just say, just one thing, I'm just thinking about the range of lenses I used. For the second and third lot and fourth lot of those shots at the first location, I then switched to a 50mm nice sharp prime lens. Prime lens is one where you don't change the focal length. Really nice sharp lens, and that was used for that. So for this next lot, I hope you're keeping up. For this next lot, I used initially a 10 to 20mm ultra wide angle lens just to get the whole of this office area in. The lighting came from one single Nikon SB800, the same one that I used to trigger the Bowens in the previous shot. But this was the sole, we had the lights on in the office, which were kind of these, I think they're sort of like halogen recessed in the roof. Very smart, very bright. But then the one speed light was enough to light up that office space nice and even. And there are white walls with whiteboards around, so there's lots of light bouncing around. And that was, I did a test shot at full power. And that was triggered via Pocket Wizard. I had a Pocket Wizard on the camera. And as soon as the camera triggered, it sent a wireless message across to the one attached to the flashlight, and it fired the flash. Test shot was at f8, I think around about 125th of a second, something like that. And at full power, it was a bit too bright because the mainly looking at the table, which was taking the brunt of the light in the middle there, was just blowing out a little bit. Probably would have been okay, but I just pulled it back a bit, so it was somewhere between half and full power, and that worked absolutely fine. Nice and sharp, f8, or I think actually it was f11 for the final shot. F11 at that ratio, and again about 125th of a second, something like that. That was the first shot, and we did it in two ways. We did one where I actually was stood on two of my Pelican, my Pelly cases, and I'll actually link to the review that I did of those so that you can see exactly what those cases are that I used for all my kit on this occasion. They're very good at using for if you need to get a bit of extra height. Two Pelly cases, they're a 1510 model, just to get probably about a foot and a half or so extra height. So that was really good. But whilst I was there, I just also just bent my legs a bit, dropped down, because it is quite a an exaggerated angle, and it's kind of quite typical. It's done quite a lot. The guys wanted a shot where they were all looking to the camera, which was okay. I generally try not to go in for too many of what you might call typical staged shots like that, but we did it anyway and it looked okay. But then I came down from the Pelly cases and did a shot looking more at sort of kind of normal standing height, slightly lower, and what that does, that actually just draws you into the picture much better with the guys that are there working. Of course, you don't, the way I had them, I didn't have anyone turning to face the camera. It was just them sort of working, as it were. Again, just a nice overall shot. If they want to put a picture on their website of, you know, here is our office space, this is where we do our work and what have you, it's nice just to give the illustration of that. Excuse me. So that was the second shot here. Then just to round it off, we essentially did a reverse angle of that, but they had on the walls, from that initial position, on the left-hand wall, they had some very colourful kind of canvas pictures, which three of them in the series, which had their motto, you know, their message on there. So we wanted to get that in the shots. So from this reverse angle, we went round, and with a 24 to 85 lens at, again, f8, I think it was, so nice and sharp, pretty much back to front, just dropping off in the background a little bit, at kind of lower than head height, probably, I don't know, I guess it was kind of just below shoulder, so chest height, f8, again, 125th of a second, something like that, where we had the three of them kind of huddled around. One of them was sat at the computer, two of them were standing. And again, it's one of those fairly typical shots, but I think it was worth doing. They wanted it, and it's always nice, even if you think, you know, I don't think it's the best shot. Even if you say, I really don't think this is the right shot, there's no harm in saying, okay, well, look, we've got time, we'll do this, see what you think. We did that from slightly higher up. Didn't quite go... It looked okay, but the trouble is, with the wider angle, which I tried with the 10-20 originally, even with at the far end of it, at a 20mm, it still meant that the person who was stood up and nearest to the camera, it did mean that they looked very large in the picture. It did also mean that the guy who was sat down had his hand on a mouse with the computer there. It meant that his arm looked quite long and quite a big hand, because the perspective exaggerates quite a lot. So what we did was we changed to a 24 to 85, dropped a bit lower, so we were much more on the level, had the pictures in the background, and you had like the photocopier in the background and the door and the clock. So it gave a nice impression of the office, you know, scenario, and of their office. So with those, they've now got a choice. They've got varying angles, sort of in terms of sort of height, perspective of the camera. They've also got shots of them sort of actually working, or sort of different levels. It's always nice to get people at different levels in the picture, so that they're not all like... I cannot stand having people sort of in a straight line in front of the camera. It's really unnatural. So like when they were standing up with the initial shots, we had them sort of turning slightly three quarters. It just gives a better... the light falls nicer. It's a more natural pose and all the rest of it. So that basically was that. It was scheduled as a 2-hour shoot. So the 2 hours are from when I turn up. It's the setting up of kit. It is obviously talking through stuff, the actual shots. So you have to be working pretty quick. And then it's also the breaking down of all the equipment and what have you. Now, because I know certainly one of the guys that was there, the chap that actually got in touch with me initially to commission the photography, because there was a bit of there was a sort of a bit of history there, as it were, you know, we'd already met a few times and what have you. I did let it roll on a little bit, only by an absolute... by the time I was all packed up and everything, and we'd had conversations about how the pictures will be supplied and when and all that sort of, it went over by half an hour, which actually I don't mind that. I think if it goes on sort of an hour and a half, and you know it's because the client has not been organised, or they, you know, just delay things unnecessarily, then it gets awkward, because you have to say, well, look, you know, it was a 2-hour shoot, because of this it's taken much longer, and then you have to start talking about whether you're going to start charging more, which you will have already made them aware of beforehand. But if it's half an hour and you know it's because you've let it run on, because it's just, it's good practice to have a conversation, maybe have another cup of tea and a chat, you know, I have things to do the rest of the day, but there's nothing wrong with that. So all told, I was there at 11, came away at 11, 12, 1, half 1, and it was all good. It was really nice. So, slightly different approach with the lighting. It was, I mean, obviously I use flashlight all the time. I like bringing the Bowens lights out from time to time. I've never actually got round to getting Pocket Wizard cables for them, because I don't use them a great deal. When I do the flashlights, portable lights, I tend to use, at the moment, I tend to use the Nikon lights quite a lot, because for a lot of arrangements, they are perfectly powerful, especially even if they're bouncing off the ceiling, you know, and those apertures that you're working with, even through softboxes. And so I have the Pocket Wizards for them, and as was the case today, if I need to use the Bowens, I just fire them remotely using another light source, just a dialed down flashlight, and it all works fine. So that was it. It was really nice. It was a range of lenses. Everyone was happy. I think they were kind of pleasantly surprised. They'd never had professional photography commissioned before, and so, you know, you have to think about what you're charging, how you justify that, making sure that everyone is happy, making sure that they are very aware of all the things that are on the contract that they have signed, because I always make sure everyone signs a contract for their protection as much as it is mine. It sounds very kind of, to a lot of people, you think, oh, having to sign contracts is all quite heavy and what have you, but at the end of the day, you say, look, here it is, these are my terms, this is what you can expect, and once we all know where we stand and what's involved and what everyone can expect, we just get it signed by everyone, and then we can get on with the photography, and we don't talk about money, we don't talk about anything like that. So the pictures were done. I am not far off being back at the office now. I have some other stuff to do for the next few hours which needs to be done and completed today. Once that's done, I will then get on with the editing. The process there is pretty simple, because I sound like a stuck record, I know. I don't do a lot of Photoshop, I don't need to, because I get it right at the time in terms of my lighting, my ratios. Have a little colour test card, I get someone to hold for each of the setups, just so that I know that I know the colour of that card is grey, and that one is black, and that one is blue that I hold there, and the white that's on it, so that I know when I go into Photoshop or whatever it is, you know, whatever software you use, on the picture, when you're editing, you say, that is white, that is neutral grey or black or whatever, and you know that the colours are right, so I don't have to worry with that. So I've got that process to do. That'll be probably an hour to an hour and a half, something like that, maybe more. And that's it. The pictures, I gave them various options, but those pictures, as is quite typical, will be sent to them on a DVD, high res. My plan is to get them into the post tomorrow, because I don't think, given looking at the time, by the time I'm back, it's going to be, by the time I get to start editing, I will have missed the post, so they weren't worried about having them super super quick, i.e. sent through the website. So I'm going to get them all done, go in the post tomorrow, excuse me, and that'll be that. The invoice will be with the pictures. I always invoice on supply, and that's it. So from the start of the shoot to when they get the pictures is essentially 48 hours, maybe a little bit less than that. I think that's pretty good. I have always worked to the principle that, depending on the shoot, the time of day that I shoot, and also depending on my other commitments, I always look to get the pictures, if not in the post or uploaded that day, then I certainly want them in the post the following day. Now, my terms do state that pictures will be supplied within 14 days. And that's what people sign up to, so they're fully aware. I've made them aware of it. And there are occasions where, for example, there's a shoot coming up in a little while where I'll be shooting them, and then I won't be able to do anything with the pictures because of other commitments for probably about 4 days. And the client will be aware of this. But, you know, it will still be that the pictures are supplied much quicker than 14 days. So at the end of the day, if you oversupply, that is always a good thing. So that, I think, just about rounds up today's activities. As ever, if you have any questions about anything that I have talked about the cameras I use, the lighting setup, specifics that I maybe haven't spoken about, for example, making sure that people's hair looks smart, making sure that the collars and the creases around their shoulders look smart, how you go about posing people, how you decide about what lighting that you're going to use. If you've got any, or shooting for business, any questions about that sort of thing or anything else I've spoken about, you know, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that all the contact information is coming up very shortly. And I'm always happy to answer any questions, and also happy to base some future podcast recordings or written articles on the site around specifics to do with actual photo shoots. That's what it's all about. So, on that note, as I am just approaching base and I'm almost done with my driving, the usual scenario plays out. I unload the kit, I put the kettle on, I make a cup of tea, and I sit down to get on with what I've got to do. And in a little while, that will also include editing through today's pictures. So on that note, I will leave it there.
Like I said, there will also be a follow-up article about that shoot on the website, just as soon as I get the chance to put it together. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.